I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I've always been in business, doing something on the side, and I'm not an hourly type gal. So imagine the day I get called in to my supervisor's office to discuss my hours. And not only that, I get called into this office and human resources in there with her little notebook taking notes. I thought I was getting fired. And I had been one that had believed with all my heart and worked with a purpose of integrity because of that entrepreneurial spirit I had. I mean, I'd been in business for at least 12 years at this time for myself. And then on top of that, I had worked for my ex-husband, who was a very successful businessman, and I learned a lot of entrepreneurial things from him. So imagine my surprise getting called in and human resources being there. I had been at this company for 10 years at this time, and I'm thinking to myself, what the heck? I mean, my supervisor, she's the director of operations. I had my doubts about her. She didn't really want me there. She's even specifically said it. So I really wasn't looking for her approval, nor was I looking for HR's approval. I almost quit my job that I freaking love at this point. Now, I take complete responsibility for everything. I take radical responsibility for everything. I was triggered because they were doubting my integrity. They were doubting my work ethic, and I was extremely triggered. But how do we transmute that trigger? That is the way out of being a victim. And I wasn't a victim of anybody, but at the same time, I realized there was a huge gap in the workplace. I mean, yes, this is corporate America, and yes, most people clock in and out, but I was an entrepreneurial spirit. I had just remodeled the gym to be this beautiful place, and I was like, what the heck? I mean, I specifically said, look, I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I'm working on stuff at home. I work all the time. I'm working on weekends. And she's like, I never see any of your stuff. I'm like, yeah, I know. That, my friend, is the power of storytelling in the workplace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You're listening to Kathy's Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Kathy Owen. I've been missing from YouTube for about a month now. It's been killing me. I've been so upset. I've had trouble with Descript. And more than likely, it was my computer that was messing up, but I got it fixed. And now I have a ton of stuff in the pipeline to put together. And today is the first of many. And my hope is I'm going to be putting YouTube videos out on a very regular basis, more than once a week for a while. And I look forward to sharing this with you, but it's been killing me that I couldn't get on here. I had what I called recording traumatic stress disorder because I'd recorded so many videos and they would all come up trashy. I mean, trashy. Descript was working buggy on me and it really wasn't totally Descript's fault, although it really wouldn't work with my older computer. And so I got to a point where I'd tell my video, I'd be like, I don't know if this is recording or not. And on top of that, I'm a firm believer in done is better than perfect because every video I recorded was like, there's something I could have done better there. It always happens that way. And, you know, I'd rather have this done and out there on a consistent basis. But that's the reason I have been missing from YouTube. And today we're going to talk about storytelling in the workplace. And actually, I've tried recording this video many times. So let's get into it. Storytelling and Corporate Wellness. Here we go. I've been trying to record this for so long, and I'm so excited to share it with you today. Why it is important to incorporate storytelling in the workplace. Let's discuss. The American Management Association highlights that storytelling is an effective tool in change management. With organizations that use storytelling in their change management initiatives, seeing a 50% higher success rate in achieving change objectives. Keep that in mind. It's a tool that not only fosters dynamic and inclusive atmosphere, but also serves as a linchpin in driving meaningful change. It invites intrinsic motivation, super key here. It invites intrinsic motivation instead of the common, not useful, extrinsic motivation. And before we go forward, I have to tell you a story about extrinsic motivation. So every Easter, we have this contest that is a scavenger hunt, and people are invited to search for these Easter eggs, and they are planted around campus, and they take a photo, a selfie with the egg and the clue, and the first person that wins gets $100, and then I think the next prize is $75, and the next prize is $50, so they give away three prizes. This contest is absolutely insane, and if you want to see who's extrinsically motivated, watch who participates in this contest. And it is crazy. I mean, okay, for example, they planted an egg in the gym, and I had a meeting scheduled at 10 o'clock, and I had people running all over the gym, searching in things in my drawers, inside my cabinets. I'm like, no, I had to ask them where they hid that egg so I could get it out of my gym and put it outside. I just put it right outside the door. Turns out they're probably not going to do this contest anymore, because actually the only people that can participate in the contest are people who don't have to sit at their desk for a certain period of time or don't have a meeting scheduled at 10 o'clock where they can't participate. Because once you get out of this contest, you get behind. And there are people that are just running all over the place doing absolutely insane things that don't make any sense. This is extrinsic motivation, whereas storytelling in the workplace creates intrinsic motivation when you tell a story of a time you overcame a struggle or a time where you came through something. And there's specific ways to tell a story, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The significance of storytelling in the corporate culture is it cultivates community. It makes you feel inclusive. It elevates communication. I've seen this happen so many times where if you share a story, oh, you see, hey, that person's human. They're not what I thought they were up here, all stressed out all the time or something. Actually elevates communication. It boosts engagement. Wouldn't you want to tell a story and have others engage in the aspects of that story rather than just have a contest where you're giving away money for finding an egg and not even doing your work? Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And it enhances knowledge sharing. Those are the aspects and the reasons why storytelling is important in the workplace. As I said, there are guidelines for telling stories in the workplace, and let's talk about those. And I'm going to relay them back to my story that I shared with you. The first thing is you want to know your audience. So my audience is either somebody that's found me through fitness, wellness, mindset, those type of things, but also, I'm shifting into becoming a corporate wellness professional where I'm going to provide my services for other companies. So I'm sharing a story about how my entrepreneurship links to my business and how I see integrity as a huge value of mine. I value being treated with integrity and also someone trusting me enough to know that I'm a person of integrity. When you're telling stories in the workplace, you want to clarify your objective. So my objective of telling you that story today is to let you see my value of integrity and also to let you see that I had just changed that gym from a drab, boring, white floor, white wall gym into an inspirational place that people could come to work out at work. And you would feel inspired when you walked in the door. And I felt like that got trampled on when I got mistreated because I wasn't clocking in and out. I was like, what the heck? Do not see the value that I have to bring to the table. And I was hit with a roadblock. And how I overcame it was taking responsibility. You want to be authentic. So to be authentic in your storytelling, you need to tell it from a place of vulnerability as well as a place of authenticity. And that word is kind of a buzzword and it's used very often. But I shared my authentic self by telling you how I was scared. I was thinking I was getting fired. And most likely you could relate to that in some form or fashion when you walk into somebody's office and you're kind of being intimidated, kind of being bullied in sort of a way. That's the way I interpreted it, and that's the way I tell my story. Because I told you I was triggered. You want to use descriptive language. In my story, maybe I used some descriptive language where I talked about how HR was sitting there with a notebook. I mean, just picture that. If HR's sitting there with a notebook, what kind of notes do they have to take? That was my thought. I was like, what the heck? I have no idea. And what blew my mind with that was, I would say about 4 months prior, I had met with HR to discuss safety measures in the gym. And she was sitting at her computer and distracted, very distracted. And she goes, I'm sorry, I'm listening to you. And she's typing away on her computer and I'm sitting over there. So I'm away at her computer. I'm listening. I just got to get these numbers in. I'm thinking to myself, numbers? Have you met me? I do not talk numbers. I can't do math. I can't add 7 + 3 without counting on my fingers. So I was thought we were talking safety measures. So this person had lost her credibility with me because she wasn't listening to me at that point. And so I get called into my supervisor's office to talk with this person who's taking notes now all of a sudden. You see what I'm talking about? You see where the intimidation came in? It was psychological. And I was using descriptive language to tell that story and enhance it just now. You want to value brevity. So what does that mean? That means keep it short, keep it sweet, keep it simple. And that gets hard because a lot of times there's a lot of details that are going on in the story and you can go on and on and on. I mean, have you ever talked to a person that you're like, come on, get the story out. Get the story out. Get over these little details. I don't need them. Just tell me how you got from A to B. And then they're sitting there telling you this long story with all these details. And you're like, hold on 1 second. I can't take it. There's a reason why in Toastmasters or in TED Talks, they tell you to keep it short because you've got to cut. There's so much that ends up on the cutting floor. Like my videos from Descript from 3 weeks ago, like those. And then in the workplace, you want to foster interactive storytelling. You want to foster that to go on inside the community. One of the things that we just started incorporating at the place I work and that I do incorporate in other workplaces is lunch and learn. And that lunch and learn is just a casual sit down with one of the top executives. And there's a lot of storytelling that takes place in that. And it's organic and it's natural. And when these stories start taking place, you start to see other individuals in an interactive way You see, hey, I didn't know this person had been here for this amount of time, and I was there this amount of time, and she's already a team lead. And I mean, there are infinite ways that this interaction can take place. And then practice, 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 practice. I have practiced telling that story about my traumatic event, getting called in to my supervisor's office. I've practiced telling that story so many times because that really hurt me. It triggered a lot of things with my post-traumatic stress, you know, questioning my work ethic, questioning my integrity, questioning, not trusting me. I have issues with all three of those things because those are things that I value. Again, let's go back to radical responsibility. I take responsibility for that. That's not their fault that they need to work on their communication because I interpreted it that way. But at the same time, I practiced telling that story over and over and over again. So I don't sound like a victim because I don't want to come across as a victim. I want to come across as a victor, which is something I talk about often. I will have a link to that in the show notes and description below to my articles that I've written on victim and victimizer. Very empowering stuff. I will talk about it more on this channel. If you want to see more of that, please let me know. And practice, there's no such thing as perfect. It just takes perfect practice because you're going to practice over and over and over again. Like I said at the beginning of this video, I could record this again tomorrow and tweak it and make it a little bit better, but done is better than perfect, but it's also practice. So I'm at 155 episodes on my channel right now. I've recorded more than that, but those are the ones that are inside of this podcast that I have right now. And they say it takes about 100 of them practicing to get crystal clear on what you want to discuss. So those are guidelines for effective storytelling in the workplace. So how does one integrate storytelling into their workplace? Use it for rewards and recognition. This is going to ignite intrinsic motivation when you reward somebody for a very impactful story that they tell in the workplace, as opposed to rewarding them for finding an Easter egg, then not everybody can participate in that contest. So when you could tell a story in the workplace about what you, how long you've been here, that's one of the first things that come inside the lunch and learn, and which triggers another conversation and another conversation. And it helps build confidence in the person that's telling the story. Confidence in the workplace, confidence in their job, confidence in their communications. This is just going to have a ripple effect, which is something my work incorporates into the workplace. The ripple effect that will change others' lives and change your workplace and your business. What about recruitment and onboarding? Telling a story when you are hiring somebody or when you're being interviewed in a job is impactful. And it's also important to remember the guidelines to effective storytelling. For example, if they say, why did you leave your last job? I got fired. That's not good. That's not a good story. You don't even want to put that out there. But take example, my story. If I said, well, I left my last job because I struggled with leadership in the team, and I found that there was no cohesiveness inside that leadership. There was no leader that was really treating me the way I deserved to be treated, seeing me as a person who could be trusted, who had integrity in their job, who also loved what they did. I was not valued for the way that I worked. I wouldn't tell the story just like that. I would go back to the way that I told it at the beginning, where I shared it with you. But I would want to incorporate those aspects of me as a person. I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I am coming from a place of integrity, and I value being trusted by you because it's a win for you and it's a win for me. And that is equal leadership. That's also being treated kindly in the workplace, which I value, and I want to bring that to your workplace. So that's where, when you're talking to somebody, even doing business with them, even when you're dating somebody, you want to tell a detailed story. And I'm going to be talking about this a lot more, like how to tell stories. What's the best kind? Where do you put the impact? Where do you put the message? Where do you put the pow in the story? When do you start it? How do you tell it? Do you just tell it, oh, my favorite color is pink? No, there's ways to go around it to bring an impact so you will remember what my favorite color is. So you will remember that I don't like extrinsic motivation because it doesn't last long in your workplace, but rather, instead of having a scavenger hunt, let's tell stories for that contest instead. And then team building. Not only that, it builds a healthy, happy team when you incorporate stories. So because we started these Lunch and Learns, I've seen everybody start working differently in their positions because they think, okay, wow, I heard this story from the owner, the CEO of the company, and I see her in a different light. I see, wow, she's normal. She's just like me. And I also see, wow, she had this stress and she never told me about that. I didn't know she had to go through this and this and this. And it just has that ripple effect that I am a firm believer in inside the workplace. So inside the blog post that I wrote for today's article, I have some bonus resources, but I'm going to go over them with you now. Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall is one of the best books I have ever read on storytelling. In fact, I've taken pages of notes inside this book to help me get better at storytelling because it's always a journey. It's not a destination. You're always going to improve a little bit at a time. And by that, remember, it's practice that helps. But Kendra Hall's book is a very helpful book on telling stories. I also like her book, Choose Your Story, Change Your Life, because that book helps you see the stories you're telling yourself, which, guess what? We talk to ourselves more than we talk to anybody else. And those stories that you're telling yourself can either make you or break you. And we are going to talk about that again very, very soon. But I love her book, Choose Your Story, Change Your Life. I also like the book, Storyworthy by Matthew Dix. And he is one of the Moth champions. He's probably won the Moth storytelling contest more than anybody else. But he gives very good ways to tell stories. I love his descriptive stories. I also like his little storybook spreadsheet that he creates, which he tells himself little stories every day. And then he can pull from those for his content that he needs to do. Or he can work on that story for his next contest that he's going to be doing. Another book that I don't have listed here, but I do have listed in the blog post, is Amplify Your Influence by Renee Rodriguez. And I am always studying his things because in his book, he talks about how the brain chemicals that are released, how impactful that is, how it helps others really learn their story and share their story effectively. All right, that's my episode for today. I trust that you found it helpful. Ooh, it feels so good to be back. I can't wait to share more things with you. If you found today's video helpful, please share it with somebody who can benefit. And until next time, I will see you next time. Peace out and namaste.